Welcome to the SOAP Bible Study Series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We're in the book of Exodus, and we've done, we're about two-thirds of the way through the book, and we've hit sections that don't necessarily seem to be related, right? It's like almost like there are chunks that we've gone through, right? Exodus and now some law, and just some stuff.
Yeah,
right?
And now we're going to get into a newer section tonight too. So we were talking about last week we saw God continuing to give laws for the nation of Israel, called them ordinances, and we saw property laws last week and morale laws and ceremonial laws, justice laws for the nation, talking about Sabbaths and feasts, all that. And it ended with the nation of Israel saying, yes, we're going to do everything that God says. We're willing to do this. Mm-hmm. And then we ended, I think I gave it one line last week, but it ends with Moses spending 40 days and nights with God, which is way cool, right? So when we start, chapter 25 starts with Moses comes down.
Yeah.
And one of the things he brings is the plans for a tabernacle.
Yeah.
So this tabernacle is going to be God's house. And it's cool, right? It's basic, but the idea is, and we'll see the tabernacle is going to take various forms over, well, we won't see it with Exodus, but this has to be simple.
Yeah.
Right? The nation of Israel is going to be on the move, so they have to be able to pick up, move, and put it back down.
Now, technically, they weren't supposed to be on the move for very long. Right.
Okay.
They're still from Sinai. It should take them a couple of weeks to get up to Canaan, and then they can go into the promised land and everything should be fine, right?
Yeah. But it seems that Moses went up to heaven and saw a tabernacle in heaven.
Yes.
And this is the best they're going to do for now down on earth.
So what's interesting, Hebrews 8 actually does confirm this. So there is a heavenly temple. There's a heavenly altar. In fact, when Jesus died, he offered his blood as the priest and the sacrifice in heaven at the altar in heaven and paid for our sins there. So, yeah, Moses got a blueprint for here's what it looks like in heaven, here's what you're going to build on earth, and that was going to be that link between heaven and earth where God would be.
Right. God knows that this is going to cost money, it's going to take time, and he tells Moses to take a free will offering from the people, mm-hmm. and this is the way that they're going to get everything they need for this. And there's a list of items that they are going to accept, and it's extensive. It's like five verses worth, right? And in the Bible, five verses—that's a lot of time.
Yeah, it is worth noting. And you said this, but I want to emphasize: this was free will. This is what somebody wanted to give. This was not a tax. Right. This was not you must give these things. This is a free will offering from a willing heart.
Okay, so we're going to find that they're building 6-7 things. And each of these are separate, but they all fit together.
Yeah.
So the tabernacle will actually come at the end. So the first thing that they're going to build is the Ark of the Testimony.
Yeah, sometimes called the Ark of the Covenant. Right?
Yep. Or just the Ark. Or just that doesn't work. Yeah. Because
yeah, it gives us no law. Right? Yeah. Somebody already took that one.
So this is made of acacia wood, and a number of these are going to be made with wood, and it is a box.
Yeah. And not a very big one.
No, right.
And it's not what you think of necessarily. If you see the movie, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, you got this huge thing. Yeah. It's not that big.
It is about 45 inches by 27 inches.
Yeah, 2x4.
Yeah.
Foot or less.
And its height is 27 inches, less than 2 feet. So a 4-foot-by-2 box.
Yep.
If you think about it from that standpoint.
Yep.
Now, what makes it special is it's overlaid by gold.
Yes.
On the inside and outside. So this is going to add significantly to the weight.
Yes.
Make the size a little bit bigger. Then there's so many verses on what has to be done with it, right?
Yep.
Overlay a surrounding border of gold on the outside. Oh, by the way, this box needs to have feet, and this box also needs to have rings put on it too.
Right.
And if you think about it from the standpoint that they're going to have to carry it, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So there are off the feet, there's these rings, so a pole can go through the ring. People can carry it to the next place.
Yeah.
It all makes sense.
Yeah.
But it adds to the weight. The lid is very ornate. It has two cherubs, which we know that those are angels,
yep,
facing each other with the wings spread. So we don't know exact, right? Is the wings spread right out and they're touching each other?
Right.
Are they spread up? But
yeah,
but we know a lot about it.
It's interesting because the cherubim were the protectors of God's holiness, or covering God's holiness. Yep. This Ark of the Covenant, Ark of the Testimony, would be at the place of God's presence. And hundreds of years later, when Solomon built the temple, the permanent temple, right?
Mm-hmm.
He used cherubim again, and he carved them and had them standing guard, actually, before this place. So
right,
the cherubim are always there in God's presence, at God's presence, between God and people. It's their role.
Okay. So now we have a box, right? What's going to be in it? We know that Moses, the Ten Commandments are going to be in there.
Yep.
And we also know that there is a jar of manna that's going to be in there also.
Yeah.
That Moses had previously said,
yeah,
that we were going to keep, or God said, God told him to keep it.
Yeah. Aaron's staff will end up being put in there after a miracle that God does for safekeeping. But yeah, it's not like there's, you know, they're loading it with, right, you know, it's not a storage chest or anything.
Yeah. Then they also have to build a table for the bread of presence.
Mm-hmm.
So bread of presence.
Yeah.
So every day bread is baked.
Yeah.
It is put on this table as an offering to God.
Yeah.
And then what happens with the bread afterwards?
So only the priests were supposed to be able to eat it. There is an instance where David,
right,
ate some of it and was not condemned for various reasons in the context, but this was part of the provision for the priests as well.
Yeah. Okay. So this is also, this is more of a table than a box. So it's 36 inches, 18 inches wide, 27 inches high. It really isn't that high, right?
It's still just a small thing, right? Right? Yeah.
Right. Seems like an odd size to me. 3 foot long by 1.5 feet tall.
Think of a small coffee table, like a sofa table, yeah, type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it'd be a little bit higher. But it's also overlaid with pure gold, and then there's a surrounding border of gold on it, gold on the frame, again, four rings to be put on the corner so you can, make poles for it. And again, you have poles made out of acacia wood. Those are overlaid with gold, too. Yep. Sure, the people carrying were like, okay, we could have done without the gold on the poles.
But the next thing that shows up tells us a little bit of why there is so much gold going on in here.
You mean the lampstand?
The lampstand,
yeah. Yeah, so also for the bread of presence are a number of plates, ladles, and pitchers, also made out of gold. And then it talks about what to do with the bread on there. And then, right, then the next thing is the lampstand. So this lampstand's going to be, it's going to end up being about 75 pounds of gold. And if you think of a menorah, they show up around our Christmas time, but it's more for Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Not more. It is for Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Where it's a specific shape.
Yeah.
So seven candles on there.
Because the lampstand, and this is the history of Hanukkah, the lampstand, they didn't have enough oil for it to burn for 8 days while they were purifying more. They had only 1 day's worth of oil, and it lasted for the entire week while more was purified. And it was for this lampstand that was in the temple.
So this lampstand is perpetually lit, supposed to be in the Holy of Holies, or the just
outside of it.
Outside the Holy
outside of it. Yep.
It was to put light on what it needed to put light on, which were the last couple items that we talked about.
Yeah, and if you think of all the gold that's you know, all of these things that have gold on them, and we'll see more, and then you have the fire.
Right, just paint.
I mean, it's just like shining in this area where God's presence. It's sort of like the closest you could get to a visible thing of God's presence. You know, they had the pillar of fire. Now they have the lampstand that is making the gold just shine all the time, sort of as a God's glory on display.
Right. So now we need to have a place to put this. So it's the tabernacle itself.
Yep.
I got confused when I read it, right? I mean, it can easily be confusing.
Yeah.
Basically, we are making a frame, and then we have a tent. You know, think of canvas going over it. There's also some leather in there. So now you have a big area, 30 by 45?
Yep.
And then within there, we are using more canvas cloth, you know, satin, much more expensive material to section off things. And there's going to be three rooms total.
So you'll have the
Holy of Holies, which is like 15 by 15.
Right. And then the holy place is 30 by...
I think it's 15.
Yeah.
And then the rest would be another room, another part in there. So it talks about how to make it. They're starting with 10 curtains, and you're twisting linen, and the linen's of various colors. It needs to be 42 feet long, 6 feet high, and then a bunch of these are going to be put together. So there's also a number of... clasps that are being made, 50 clasps, so they're clasping these together.
Yep.
So you can kind of see how you're putting this together and also how it could be taken apart.
Package it up so that you can go.
Moving and, you know, all right, who's got the blue? Yep. Blue number one. We're looking for you guys. So again, it ends up with, 45 feet long.
Yeah.
One of the commentaries I read said, you know, it's basically 1.5 parking spaces wide by 2 parking space is long.
Yeah, and that's about right, because a parking space is about 9 foot by 15 to 20 feet roughly or something.
Yeah.
So for anyone who's familiar with our church building here, the main floor of our auditorium is about 45 by 30. So if you're looking at something that's 45 by 15, it's about half of the half of our auditorium on main floor.
Right. So then outside the tabernacle are going to be a number of things there. First, there's going to be an altar. Mm-hmm. So we had talked before that Moses had built an altar out of 12 stones. Yes. This is going to be a more permanent altar that is movable.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. 7.5 feet square. So, you know, it's good size. You know, you'll easily be able to put a bowl up there.
Or, yeah, 4.5 feet tall, it said, and then it's covered in bronze.
Yeah.
Man, don't be on altar duty, right? This guy's going to be heavy. Again, rings on the bottom so it can be carried. There are also 4 horns on the corner made out of bronze. And then all the pots, all the tools that go along with it. The horns... kind of triggered something in me. Those show up. I can remember some people going up and grabbing the horns and really getting a chance to say their piece of what they had.
Be protected from revenge for certain things or whatever. Yeah.
Right. As long as they were holding.
As long as they were holding on to it. We see that in Solomon's day. We see that in other days. Nice thing about the altar, you mentioned how heavy it was because of how it was, you know, big it was. It's hollow. I mean, it's an empty. Right. It's not like right. it's not like a full bronze. Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's going to be hollow, but it's still big, and you know, you have I don't know how many guys carrying it.
Then they can make their bronze too, while they're beating it out. So there's also a courtyard, and the courtyard is 150 feet wide, width of 75 feet, and height of 7.5 feet.
So what we need to remember is that 45 foot inner building, right, that has the holy place and the most holy place, is going to sit inside of this
courtyard
frame, right? And so the altar is in the front of the inner section, and people will be able to come into the courtyard. That's where they'll make sacrifices and everything, but they won't go into the holy place. They won't go into the Holy of Holies or the most holy place.
Good point. And it seemed to me that in this courtyard, most everything is bronze.
Yeah.
And then Then they start moving into silver, and then on the inside is the gold that right. the normal people would never see.
Right, right.
Yep. So it was a job of the people to bring pure olive oil for the lights, and Aaron and the sons, they were to tend to the lights, mm-hmm. and that was a lasting ordinance for Israel.
Yep.
And then the last chapter, chapter 28, is all about the clothes for the priests. Mm-hmm. So Aaron's going to have the most ornate robes. So it talks about a breastplate that he wears. There's an ephod, a robe, a tunic, a turban, a sash. There's a lot of stuff that he's got to put on.
Yeah, yeah.
For this.
And each one, each color, each piece, each everything has special a purpose significance, and meaning is, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. There's precious stones. Two of the stones have six names of the tribe of Israel. So you have the 12 tribe names there. There's a lot of gold, the breastplate, and the ephod. They'd be heavy mm-hmm. for somebody to be walking around with. There's also a place for basically dice, you know, think about it that way. So mm-hmm. something of chance. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that there's not chance, but right. the idea is that the high priest could ask God a question and then get a yes or no answer.
Yeah.
By rolling his dice.
Or just putting his hand, because they lived in a pocket. So, right. you know, going yeah, and mixing it in, out. Pulling one of them out, and it would be, you know, black or white or whatever. So right. yes or no. And, you know, I don't want you to, you know, think magic eight ball or anything, but it, right. because it's actually God, this is how because the high priest wasn't going to talk to God like Moses did. And this is really important, is that God was not setting up a structure where a person would keep talking to him like Moses did.
Right.
The priests were to be the leaders of the nation of Israel. And they were supposed to arbitrate the laws, and they were supposed to, I mean, God gave them the law. It should have been pretty straightforward. And when right. there were questions, it wasn't that the high priest would go up on the mountain and talk to God like Moses. God said, when there are questions, there shouldn't be a lot, but when there are questions, here's how I'm going to give you the answer.
That was good. It also has the other priests in their robes. Certainly, they're not as elaborate.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of information in here. You can easily gloss over, but like we always say, take your time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in there for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I love. We're in chapter 28. I love verse 40. For Aaron's sons, you are to make tunics, sashes, and headbands for glory, and for beauty. These things looked nice. The beginning of chapter 28, verse 6 says that the ephod will be gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twisted linen, the work of an artistic designer, right? Yeah. This was not just slapped together. Yeah, this was right. thought through. This was very carefully made. This was supposed to be nice. It was supposed to look nice. It was supposed to be something that honored or represented God as they were. I'm sure, I don't know how you get blood stains out, because if they're sacrificing right. animals and everything, and that may be why it looked so nice, because it was going to be bloodied or something. But
yeah. One thing I didn't bring up, Aaron's robes have bells sewn into them.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. We'll let you read why.
Yeah. In there. Yeah. You got to be able to hear him coming.
Yeah.
or going, right?
right.
Yeah. Yep. So we're now, we've done the pre-Exodus as the nation, as the family became a nation. We've done the Exodus. We're spending time now at Mount Sinai, and we've gotten some laws. We've seen right. some laws. And now we're moving not into just the law, so we're moving into the sacrificial system, the actual Levitical system, and right. how that all works. It seems like things should be going along pretty well.
They actually have been.
They seem to be doing pretty well.
Yeah. There'll be hopefully some bumps.
That keeps up for the next 12 chapters or so. While we still have a few weeks here in Exodus, I'm sure there's a way to mess this up.
Yeah,
but not this week. This week we've got some pretty cool stuff.
I don't know why you brought it up.
Because I know what's coming. We have some pretty cool stuff. Well, I hope you enjoy. Like Gary said, pay attention to it, right? There's a lot of detail in here that's really interesting. And if you haven't read it for a long time, or maybe you've never read Exodus before at all, I think you'll find this interesting. And God apparently does care about these details, which means that we should too. And even though we're not bound by these laws, these are things that we can learn from, at least learn something about God. So I hope that you do that. We'll pick up here next time. Make sure that you ask your questions or share your comments with us. Send this along to your friends and family so that they can participate as well. And we will see you back here next time.